Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 18 September 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 3 John. 3 John. We have one of the greatest winner believers of all time. In the first part of this little letter, and then we have one of the worst scumbags ever in the history of the church. We'll get down a little bit later in this letter. So we got the good and the bad. I think the bad includes the ugly. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have the update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas report for September 17th. The Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, September 17th, went very well with the usual group of ladies anxious to learn more about heaven. I like that, anxious. I always look... Any faithful pastor looks for his congregation, face-to-face ones. Are you anxious? Well, I'm anxious. Pastor Olson did not disappoint. There, see? Pastor Olson did not disappoint as he taught Lesson 20, continuing the study of the greatest wedding of all time. The marriage between Christ and his bride, the church. The pastor referred to passages in 1 and 2 Corinthians and in Ephesians to describe three stages of weddings in the ancient world. Stage 1 was the contract stage. Stage 2 was the wedding stage. And stage 3, the celebration stage. And then the pastor explained how these stages parallel Christ's marriage to his bride, the church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation, being the contract stage. The rapture of the church being the wedding stage. And the celebration stage or marriage banquet during the millennial kingdom. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Third John. Well, there's only 14 verses in this letter, but there's a heaven a lot of doctrine in it. Third John, start the corrected translation at verse 1, and this tells us a lot right at the first verse. The presbyteros, and presbyteros is a Greek koine term for the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So that tells us right off the bat that 3 John, the Apostle John, had at least two spiritual gifts. He probably had more than that. He had the spiritual gift of apostleship, and he had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And the church, the local church that he sent this letter to, doesn't have a pastor. They don't have a pastor right now, so the Apostle John functions as their pastor at the point. Now, John is recommending a fellow, by get down to the end, in verse 12, Demetrius. Demetrius has the gift of pastor-teacher, and the Apostle John is recommending Demetrius to be the pastor of this local church. But first of all, there has to be a real mess straightened out by the head of the board of deacons. And this Diotrephes is the head of the board of deacons, and John has sent 1 John, 2 John, 3 John to this local church. And Diotrephes won't let any of them be taught. Not at all. He refuses to have any of those letters by the Apostle John taught in this local church. He hates the Apostle John. He hates anybody that doesn't agree with his thinking. And he thinks he is the number one guy. But he doesn't have the gift of pastor-teacher. He doesn't have the gift of apostleship. And he is 100% out of line. And the Apostle John is going, as we get down looking at Diotrephes, he says, I may come to this church, Gaius. I may come to the church, and I may not. First of all, I'm going to send Demetrius there and have him straighten the situation out. But if Demetrius can't handle the situation, then I'll come, and I will straighten this situation out. And Diotrephes will be excommunicated. He will be shown the door and removed. And so there's a lot going on in this local church. And right now, the Apostle John, he's writing this letter, is functioning as the pastor of this local church. But Diotrephes will not allow this to be taught. He hates the Apostle John. He has no respect for the spiritual authority of apostleship. He has no respect for the spiritual authority of pastor-teacher unless they agree with him. And he thinks he's number one. So the old man, the presbyteros, the commander, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love. Gaius is a winner believer all the way. Man, do we need Gaiuses in the United States of America today. We need lots and lots of Gaiuses so that the pivot will be large enough to prevent the fifth cycle of national discipline on our nation. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has the uniform of honor on in his soul. That invisible uniform of honor is in Gaius's soul, and he's living his life by the royal family honor code. And therefore, Gaius has the entire greater grace blessing package given to him. Verse 3, for I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, royal family, came and bore witness to your aletheia, absolute truth. Namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. Verse 4, I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is, to keep on hearing that my students are walking, living the spiritual life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. And that brought us to verse 5. And a vocative of agapeta. Agapetas, A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S, agapetas. And in the dispensation of the church age, agapetos is a part of mysterion, mystery doctrine, because it is introducing something that nobody ever knew about in the Old Testament, and that is union with Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, and the royal family of God. This is mysterion doctrine. This is mystery doctrine. This is church age truth that nobody knew about in the Old Testament, but now it is revealed. Agapetos, it can be translated beloved, it can be translated dear friend, but what it's really looking at is this, as the believer, as a member of the royal family of God. Royal family of God. In the Old Testament, believers were regenerated and they were family of God. Only in the church age do we have the royal family of God. Only in the church age do we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Only in the church age, at the moment of salvation, is the believer baptized into union with Jesus Christ. And he is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, and we are in union with the King, and that makes us royal family of God. Royal family of God. Now, I'll admit, I'll look around, and sometimes you all don't look like royalty. But you are. You're royal family of God. That is unique. And there will never be another royal family of God forever. And you will be royal family of God for all eternity. You will be royal family of God. So this brought us to a study of the doctrine of the royal family of God. And so far we have studied point one in the doctrine of the royal family of God. And point one is the basis for the royal family of God. A royal family is the family of a king. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. The Lord Jesus Christ has three categories of royalty. He is divine royalty, he is Jewish royalty, and he is battlefield royalty. Battlefield royalty as a result of his strategic victory on the cross. So, first of all, Jesus Christ is divine royalty as God. He is a sovereign king as part of the Trinity, possessing all the attributes of divine essence. As the manifest person of the Trinity, our Lord wears the crown of divine royalty. His royal title is Son of God. The members of his royal family are God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, with whom he has eternal and infinite coexistence. Second, because of the incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord, he was born Jewish royalty. He is descended from the lines of two of the sons of David by Bathsheba. The line of royal descent from Solomon ends with Joseph, listed in Matthew. The line of royal descent from Nathan, given in Luke, comes down to Mary, our Lord's real mother. His royal title is the Son of David, and his royal family is the dynasty of David. As Jewish royalty, our Lord fulfills the Davidic covenant, which is one of four unconditional covenants that will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. Those four unconditional covenants are the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. And when Christ returns at the second advent, those unconditional covenants will be fulfilled by him at that time. And then third, as a result of our Lord's resurrection, ascension, and session in hypostatic union, our Lord received his third royal patent, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. And by virtue of his strategic victory on the cross, our Lord received his battlefield royalty as the strategic victor in the angelic conflict. His strategic victory on the cross was confirmed by his resurrection, ascension, and session. In Revelation 19:16, he has the title written on his robe, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bright morning star. When our Lord received his third royal patent, he had no royal family to accompany it. A third royal family, therefore, had to be formed. Therefore, in the perfect plan of God, God the Father interrupted the dispensation of Israel. Interrupted. It's not over. We have an interruption, an intercalation. The church age is an intercalation. He interrupted the age of Israel. Why? To call out a royal family. And when it's completed with the rapture of the church, then we have the end of the age of Israel. And the end of the age of Israel is the last 7 years, the tribulation period. So God the Father interrupted the dispensation of Israel and inserted the church age. Why? For the calling out of a royal family to accompany our Lord's third royal title. The mechanics for the formation of this royal family is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, begun on the day of Pentecost, which enters all believers of the church age into union with Jesus Christ, and you will be in union with Christ for all eternity. When the royal family is completed, it will be resurrected, and that will take place at the end of the church age, the rapture of the church. Now that was all in point one. Point two, definition and description of the royal family of God. One, the royal family of God is defined as every single church age believer, regardless of your background, regardless of your race, whether you're Polish, Navajo, Norwegian, doesn't matter what your race is, what your background is, you are all royal family of God. Two, whatever we were before, we are now royal family of God. Absolutely amazing. Royal family of God. And as royal family of God, we have the most unique blessings given to us in this dispensation that never occurred before. Phenomenal blessings that never occurred before. We have a double portion of the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God was given to us at the moment of salvation. The imputation of God the Father's righteousness to us. That's one. But the baptism of the Spirit put us in union with Christ. And we have the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have a double portion of righteousness. That never, no other believer in history has a double portion of God's perfect righteousness. We have a double portion of eternal life. God gave us the gift of God the Father gave us the gift of eternal life at salvation, baptism of the Spirit. We're in union with Christ. We have the eternal life of Jesus Christ. So we have a double portion of God's righteousness, a double portion of God's eternal life, only totally unique to the royal family of God. And we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. That never occurred before. Universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. As a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, so that you can live something else that never occurred before. The spiritual life. The first time there was a unique spiritual life was with the incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and in His true humanity, God the Father gave Him the unique spiritual life. He was indwelt and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. That was the divine power to live the spiritual life. And then He passed it on to us. He was the first one to live the spiritual life, and He passed it on to us. And now we have the privilege of living that unique spiritual life of the church age. A supernatural way of life, and it demands supernatural power to live it. And that's the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And we have the universal priesthood of the believer. That never occurred before. Universal priest. Every one of you, you're all a priest. A royal priest. You are all a royal priest. Commissioned a royal priest. To represent yourself before God. It was a specialized priesthood in the age of Israel. You had to be of the tribe of Levi. In the church age, you're all commissioned a royal priest, universal priesthood of the believer. And you have the commission as royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Come on in, Marty. That'd be 100 push-ups. Oh, well, afterward you can do it. Okay. You are commissioned a royal ambassador. You represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. All of you, you're all a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. And as a royal ambassador for Christ, you have the privilege, all of you, every one of you, not just me as the pastor, not just those who have the gift of evangelist, every one of you. That's why we have a special team here, the evangelism team. Recognize the principle of our royal ambassadorship to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And the evangelism team of this local church has had phenomenal impact, great impact over the, well, I've been here 48 years, and that's about how long that's been operating. And that's unique. Every single one of you have been commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So, in our definition and description of the royal family of God, the royal family of God is defined as every single church-age believer, regardless of his background or his race. Secondly, whatever we were before, we are now royal family of God. And this is a permanent royalty. You will always be royal family of God. It's going to last forever. Our royalty is eternal and secure since it is related to our union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Totally unique to us, church age believers. Three, this means all church age believers are in full-time royal service for Christ. This means all church-age believers are in full-time royal service for Christ. As royal priests representing ourselves before God and royal ambassadors representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Four, the royal family is formed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The royal family is formed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, totally unique to our dispensation. There was no baptism of the Spirit in the Old Testament. It's unique to the church age. Formed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation, the moment of faith in Christ. The baptism of the Spirit is identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, current positional truth. Five, at salvation, the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ, which makes us royal family of God. At salvation, the Holy Spirit enters us, church-age believers, into union with Christ, which makes us royal family of God. The baptism of the Spirit is identification with Christ as royalty. We are in union with the King of all kings. We are royal family of God. Six, we are accepted positionally as royalty, just as Christ is accepted in fact as royalty. We are accepted positionally as royalty, just as Christ is accepted in fact as royalty. Seven, We share all that Christ is and has. We share all that Christ is and has as royalty in union with Him. We share all that Christ is and has as royalty in union with Him. 8. Current positional truth in union with Christ belongs to all believers, regardless of their spiritual status or regardless of their maturity level, whether you're a baby, an adolescent, spiritually mature, it makes no difference. All church-age believers are royalty. All of them. No matter how many bad decisions you make, how sinful you are, how evil you are, you're still royal family of God. No matter whether you are a winner believer or a loser believer, you're in union with Christ. You're royal family of God. So current positional truth in union with Christ belongs to all church age believers, regardless of their spiritual status or their maturity level. All church age believers are royalty, no matter how evil or how sinful they might be. 9. Because the baptism of the Spirit is not an experience, it's not an experience. When you believe in Christ and God the Holy Spirit puts you into union with Christ, you don't get a rosy glow. It's not an experience. Our royal status is not seen or felt in any experiential way. It only becomes manifest to others, impact, when we attain spiritual maturity. When we attain spiritual maturity, then your life has great impact. Invisible impact. Now you have inside of your soul an invisible uniform. The uniform of honor in your soul. And now you are living your life by the royal family honor code. And that has great, great impact. 10. The nomenclature for the royal family of God is three parts. 1, church. Not a local church, but the church universal. Emphasizing the function of the royal family of God during this dispensation, the church age. So, first of all, we're called the church. 2, we're called the body of Christ. The body of Christ while we're here on earth, emphasizing the utilization of the same divine omnipotence, divine power. What power is that? The power of God, the Holy Spirit. The same divine omnipotence that was used to sustain the humanity of Christ in His hypostatic union. So we're called the body of Christ. Christ lived the unique spiritual life of the church age in His true humanity by divine power. Not His own power, but by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're called the body of Christ, so that we also use that same divine power, the power of God the Holy Spirit, to live the spiritual life of the church age. And 3, we have the title, the bride of Christ, emphasizing the royal family of God after the resurrection, after the rapture. At the rapture, we become the bride of Christ. So we're called the church, universal, the body of Christ, and then after the rapture, the bride of Christ. And we will always be the bride of Christ forever and ever and ever. To whom much is given, much is expected. God has given us so much in this dispensation that other believers never had, that Moses never had, David never had, Isaiah never had, Jeremiah never had. To whom much is given, much is expected. God has given us the most amazing blessings in this dispensation of the church age. And you are royal family of God. I hope this begins to sink into your life. It will change your life. Your royal family of God. 11. The time of the royal family of God is the church age, which is the dispensational intercalation. The church age is an intercalation, an interruption. The age of Israel was interrupted. Interrupted of the age of Israel, why? To call out a royal family of God for Jesus Christ in his battlefield royalty. He's divine royalty, son of God. He's Jewish royalty, the son of David. He's battlefield royalty by a strategic victory on the cross. So the age of Israel was interrupted to call out a royal family for Jesus Christ in his battlefield royalty. 12, the church age is the only dispensation having both a royal family of God and a new spiritual species. The church age is the only dispensation having both a royal family of God and a new spiritual species. 13. The assets of the royal family of God are contained in our portfolio of invisible assets, which God the Father prepared for each of us in eternity past. Point 3 is, why are we here as royal family? Why are we here as royal family? Well, let's amplify that. First of all, we are here to live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the royal family code of honor. We are here to live our life, the spiritual life of the church age, under the royal family code of honor. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this is so important, especially in the day we live. Our nation is totally divided. There are many, many people in this nation who hate conservatives. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're a conservative. And these people hate you. They hate me. We're the enemy. They hate you. They slander you. They malign you. They assassinate you. So what do? Do you get revenge? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Not you. No. When they hate you, malign you, slander you, attack you, tear you down, you operate by the royal family code of honor. That's how you operate. You treat them with the royal family code of honor. You don't get down on their level. It's not a dog-eat-dog situation. You don't get down on their level. Then you're totally out of line. No. You have a uniform of honor you are to put on in your soul and live your life by that royal family code of honor. No matter what is how you're treated by others. And right now, we're the enemy. Now they say that their enemies are conservatives, but if you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you believe Jesus Christ is the living and true God, if you believe the Bible is the absolute truth of the Word of God, then you're a conservative. And they hate you, but they don't really hate you. They hate God. They hate God. They hate the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. He's a holy God. He says, this is right and that is wrong. He says, this is sin and this is not sin. He defined it. This. And the thing is, what he says is wrong is what they're doing. What God says is sin is what they're doing. They hate God. But as you live the spiritual life, you love God. You love the living and true God. And you put on the uniform of honor. And you live your life with the royal family code of honor. And that means when these people attack you, slander you, judge you, maybe they even try to kill you, you operate by the royal family code of honor. So where is that? Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself, put on the invisible uniform of honor. This invisible uniform of honor goes on in your soul. Clothe yourself with the invisible uniform of honor. What is that uniform of honor made up of? Compassion. That's grace orientation. You're a man of grace. You're oriented to grace. Your life functions by grace. Grace modus operandi. Kindness. Humility. Gentleness. And patience. Now pay attention, verse 13. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive. And the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. He was the impeccable God-man. He hadn't even committed one sin. And he was crucified. And Jesus Christ prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, there's your role model. There's your role model. You're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He received the greatest undeserved suffering ever in the history of the universe, his crucifixion. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what do we have here when you have the uniform of honor on in your soul? Forgive whatever grievances bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So we are here to live our life, the spiritual life of the church age, under the royal family code of honor, Colossians 3:12-14. 2, subpoint 2, the code of honor is an invisible uniform of honor that goes on in your soul. That's verse 12. Clothe yourself in your soul. It's an invisible uniform of honor in your soul. 3, this invisible uniform of honor consists of maximum grace orientation. Maximum grace orientation. Kindness. Genuine humility. Gentleness. Patience. Forgiveness. Forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. 4, in Colossians 3:12-14, the spotlight is on impersonal love for all mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly, the Republicans, the Democrats, the socialists, the liberals, the communists. Impersonal love for all. 5, impersonal love cannot be reduced to the level of dog eat dog. Your relaxed mental attitude is the issue. Your relaxed mental attitude is the issue. 6, you never, never reduce yourself to the norms and standards of those who attack you and malign you, slander you, judge you. You never reduce yourself to the standards of those who attack and malign and slander and judge you. 7, impersonal love excludes carrying a grudge. You don't retaliate. You don't seek revenge if you're wronged. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Not you. You don't retaliate, you don't seek revenge if you're wrong. Vengeance belongs to God, not to us. 8, impersonal love of the royal family honor code totally forbids you and me to have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward others. Impersonal love of the royal family honor code totally forbids you and me, royal family, to have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Turn over to Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, starting at verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God, so that then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, verse 13, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Whenever you get involved with that, you don't have a spiritual life. When you judge fellow believers, you do not have a spiritual life at all. You have no royal family honor code. And you're destroying yourself. The only one you're destroying when you do that, you're destroying yourself. Because you come under triple compound divine discipline. Jesus Christ made it clear, Matthew, triple compound divine discipline. And you get clobbered. You can't handle triple compound divine discipline. You'll be the most miserable person on the face of the earth. But when you put on the royal family code of honor, that's gone. That's totally gone. No mental attitude sins, no sins of the tongue, that's over. Oh, you'll commit sins all right, but you get into a different category. That's the worst category there. You don't ever want to get in that category. Because when you get in that category, you are destroying yourself. You're your own worst enemy. 9. The royal family honor code centers around 3 principles related to people. The Royal Family Honor Code centers around 3 principles related to people. First of all, truth. Truth. You tell the truth. Absolute truth. Aletheia. Truth. And that's integrity. Secondly, impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all. And third, grace orientation. Point 4 is violations of the Royal Family Honor Code. And you see, God is applauding. Rain in the desert is a blessing. I've been telling that to my kids, and now I tell it to my grandkids for a long time. Rain in the desert is a blessing. And they've heard that from when they were little tiny shavers. Now, that's a blessing. When we hear rain, it's raining. Fantastic. They said a few weeks ago, the monsoon came by and it was dry. That's wet. Violations of the Royal Family Honor Code. First of all, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These are the things the Lord hates. Now, there's a lot of sins recorded in the Word of God. A lot of sins. But these, and by the way, if I go through this and you're not doing these, then you can say, oh, well, I can do the others, no problem. See, I know you too well. You say, oh, good, I can just keep doing the other ones, yeah. No, I better cut that off at the pass here. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Verse 17, haughty eyes, what's that? Arrogance. Refers to the category of mental attitude sins. Specific arrogance. God hates arrogance. And that pulls together all the mental attitude sins. Secondly, a lying tongue. There's the second category, sins of the tongue. And then the third category is the only overt sin mentioned, hands that shed innocent blood. Murder. And we've been seeing so much murder in these last few months. So much murder. Murdering children in school. Murdering, assassinating Christians like Charlie Kirk. Murder. Attempted murder on our president when he was running for president. They tried to. They put a hole in his ear. Only an inch from killing him. They tried to. The same, that's political assassination just like with Charlie Kirk. And the Lord hates murder. Hates murder. Then he has a heart that devises wicked schemes. That's conspiracy. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up strife among the brethren. And what's that? How do you do that? Gossip, maligning, slandering, judging. These are sins that God hates. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 1, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People, and we're in the last days, folks, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without virtue love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. And then turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 1. Stop judging. Stop judging, lest you be judged yourself. Who's teaching this? The Lord Jesus Christ. Stop judging, lest you be judged yourself. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? That characterizes so many believers today. These are violations of the Royal Family Honor Code. All right. Well, we're not quite through this great doctrine. This great doctrine of the royal family of God. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of happiness and blessing in our own lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.